Floodgate Broadcasting.
Directly linked to this child's pituitary gland, undeveloped pituitary gland. What happens when she becomes adolescent and that sleeping gland wakes and becomes for 20 months the most powerful force in the human body? Suppose we have a child here who someday is capable of creating a nuclear explosion simply by the power of her will, who has within her, lying dormant at present, power someday to crack the very planet in two like a china plate in a shooting gallery.
All right, everybody. Welcome to Firestarter Radio. This August the 28th, at 8 p.m. Eastern. I don't really know why I'm telling you that, because it's really not important when you listen back to this. But yeah, it's 8 p.m. Eastern. And tonight I have a guest with me who I will get to in just a minute. But I wanted to say a few things before I bring Massimo on, who many of you have heard from before and I'm sure are looking forward to hearing from again. I just wanted to let people know that I have started a new little side business venture where I'm going to be selling herbal tinctures, body creams, teas, lip balms, shampoo and conditioner eventually, plant-based makeup eventually. You know, I've got to actually, like, you know, earn some money before I can invest more, because all I've done is really invest in a lot of stuff and haven't really seen total return yet, but we'll get there. So it's heathenherbs.com. And I want to thank everyone out there who has made this possible by donating to me after I lost my job. Well, you made both of my business ventures possible. The behavior therapy one hasn't really picked up yet, but I have faith. And it will get there. I have one client as of right now, so that's good. It's just dealing with the insurance companies that's been a nightmare, and that's no surprise there because we know what's up with insurance companies. It's a total scam. But the other business venture, Heathen Herbs, I couldn't do it without you guys because, you know, it does take an investment. I have to buy the bottles in bulk, and, you know, I'm going to have to print out eventually professional labels that have all the legal requirements on there because I don't want the FDA coming to mess with me. So I'm going to cover my legal bases as best as I can. So thank you to everybody out there. We have such great support here at Renegade, the people that listen, the people that contribute, the people that help us out when we're in our time of need, people that we've never even met. You know, it's just, it's something really unique that I personally have never experienced in my life. And I'm really thankful that we have this and we have you guys out there who I feel as if we're connected on a spiritual level because we may not ever cross paths directly in this lifetime, you know, maybe virtual paths, but we might not actually physically be in the same room together. But I feel that we're on a kind of spiritual journey together, as woo-woo and corny as that sounds. I feel that we're all connected in some other way, some way that we can't really explain by words or by physically being in the same room as each other. But I really love each and every one of you out there that has helped us so much. And in particular, I just want to give a special thank you to Anthony Roberts, someone who just brightens my day with his comments. He's, you know, always supportive in his comments, and but he'll tell it like it is too. And I just, you've been such a support to us, and you're just a beautiful soul, and I really want to thank you for everything that you've done for us and for Renegade and for your people. So thank you, everybody. I got to get those love vibes out there to start, because I know a lot of times I'm bitching and I'm usually angry, but I'm in a good space today, and I wanted to make sure that I take the time to thank all of you. So without further ado, I want to bring on my friend Massimo. And Massimo, I didn't have a chance to tell you before we came on, but since we're connected on Skype, you won't be able to hear the breaks when they come in, but I'll just tell you, and then we'll, you know, we'll reconvene after the break. So are you able to hear me, Massimo?
Yeah, hello. Can you hear me?
Awesome. Yeah. Sounds good.
Yeah, hello, everybody. Nice. Thank you for inviting me back to your beautiful show. And I'm really pleased. Here in Barcelona, it's now everything is quiet again, you know, after the latest hoax of last week's, you know.
So, do you mean Muslim extremist terrorism? That's what you meant, right? Totally not a hoax.
Yes. Totally. You know, there is a beautiful documentary still just in Italian about it, you know, where they expose the usual mannequins, you know, crisis actors, Jews, and the usual shit, you know.
Yep. I mean, they do one of these so frequently that my head is spinning. I just don't even, you know, I mean, imagine the manpower that it takes to organize these massive events. I mean, well, they have a whole entire population of people to pull from for talent. I mean, they have a whole brainwashed population of Israelis that will do anything.
But again, you know, I met few people that were in the area while it was supposedly happening. And basically, you know, they were just told by police, run this way. So there were just people running from one side to the other, not knowing what was happening.
So that, yeah,
it's so easy, you know, it's just so easy. You just tell people something is happening. If he's a police officer, so easy. Everybody just gets scared. They just start running.
Yep, absolutely. And how perfect for the cameras, right? Say that there's cell phone video being taken. It's mass chaos. Everybody's running everywhere. You know, meanwhile, these cops could be, you know, Israeli Jews in uniform. They do this all the time. They pretend to be the, you know, the local law enforcement. And obviously, the local law enforcement would have to be in on this.
But also, as always, put the Jew in the equation. Guess from which country the Catalonian police are getting their training? Guess.
Totally not Israel. They're totally not learning Krav Maga.
I'm telling you, you know, as in the U.S., you know, police officer here, the Mossos de Squadra, they are training with Israeli officers.
That's right.
You see, it's always you have just to put the Jew into the equation and you get the solution. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you get the solution to the problem. That's for sure.
I mean, at least you get the solution. You get the answer to the question.
That's right.
Or how is it possible? How is blah, blah, blah? How they can manage to do it? Mm-hmm. Man, they are in everywhere, unfortunately.
They are everywhere. And they have a little band of merry, instead of the band of merry pranksters, it's the little band, traveling band of actors. They go around from crisis to crisis. You have the cell phone crying girl that's in every single hoax. She's always there crying.
Yeah, exactly.
Every single event. The same face.
You know, that's the life of these people. They just get paid. They just travel around the world. You know, they just make one scene every maybe couple of weeks. Get paid so much money. Nice life, you know. At the end, if you think with a point of view, as a crypto Jews, is perfect.
Oh, I mean, think about it. It's great. You get to laugh your way to the bank, tricking the goyim. You probably get some kind of like award for being the best crisis actor. They probably have little ceremonies that we don't get to see. You know, like crisis actor of the year goes to. They have a little, you know, some kind of little like award, a little golden menorah that they win.
A crippled Oscar, you know, because they have to behave like they're crippled or they have lost limbs, you know, so they give you a statue without one arm.
Yeah. Yes. Best amputee performance. Yeah, definitely. I mean, I can't even keep track of the hoaxes at this point, and that's part of the plan. You know, have you ever seen the movie Brazil?
Yeah.
That's exactly what this reminds me of, and I think Kyle was talking about it on a show recently. There is not anything to do with Brazil in that film, but for us, you know, when we look, we're looking at the big picture, it seems as if they were predicting the future for white countries to become like Brazil, completely coffee colored and hostile to whites, basically a shithole, a third world shithole. They were predicting this in Brazil. And what they had was these over the top theatrical, you know, fake hoaxes, terror hoaxes happening constantly that people just became so numb to it that there's like all these bombs going off and they're just eating dinner and, you know, people are just so desensitized to it.
Yeah, actually, you know, even George Orwell mentioned it in 1984 about, you know, continuous terrorist attacks, you know, done with exactly the same purpose, you know, just to keep people in line and keep them scared at the same time, all the time, not sure what is going to happen then from one moment to the other. You know, that is the idea. And this is what I noticed here in Barcelona from, you know, let's say at least Catalonians, you know, so kind of locals. So many were like, whoa, wow, yeah, they were really touched. Even though, I mean, maybe they didn't know anyone in there. They are not used to get to the Ramblas, the place where it happened, but just because it happened in a, such a liberal and quiet town as is Barcelona, you know, I mean, it really worked. I was actually, you know, so they were asking me, how do you feel? I said, well, look, I didn't want to say the whole story that I don't believe in any of this. So I just put it in the way. I was in London in 2007. I was in London in 2011. I was in London in 2012, you know. This is, and I used to work in a place very central, you know. And so, you know, these things were like at the order of the day. So I was like, they were like, so you are not scared? I said, well, what am I supposed to do? I said, running away. I said, no, I'm not there. You know, I mean, in my area, it was okay. Just, you know, helicopters in everywhere, police and more sirens than usual. But once you've been in, I don't know if it's like this in the States, but I'm telling you, in London, it's crazy. There are sirens every second.
Oh, yeah, that's like any major
all day long, non-stop.
And you
all
do day,
you just hear sirens and sirens and sirens.
Yes, I remember when I was living in New York City, I lived in Queens, right next to LaGuardia Airport. So I had the planes, I had the above-ground subway, the bus stop right outside of my apartment, and then the Long Island Railroad and cars. And it was like, you actually do desensitize to it in a way. You become...
Yes. Exactly. That's the connection you can make with the movie Brazil.
Yes.
Because this desensitization, I mean, become to desensitize through the perception. It goes also through emotion, to facts.
Yeah.
This is how they do it for the soldiers, how during the training they make a killer, where before it wasn't a killer. You know, it's through, everything is through repetition continuous until basically you reach the point that you don't give a shit anymore. You know?
Yes, definitely. And especially with so much coming at you, so much terror, 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 it basically puts people in a catatonic state.
Exactly.
Where they're frozen. They don't even know what to do.
Yeah, exactly. And all this connects more and more with the technological, you know, advancements they are giving away, in the, they are putting forward every day in the last few years, and they're going faster and faster to what we conspiracy theorists were saying since maybe 20 years about the microchip, about this, about that, about, you know, total dependence from technology and control and people completely eat from the, like in the movie Idiocracy. And now it's here.
It's here.
I mean,
they're getting them. They're getting chips in their hand. They already have them.
Okay.
And they're willingly
For instance, here in Barcelona, as I told you, remember I told you that a few days ago, actually last week, I was paid, first time I was paid very proudly by a customer that he paid me with his Visa bracelets. It was like, can I pay you with this? It's like, oh my God, what is that? I said, it's my new card. I have the bracelet now.
Said,
whoa. Wow. So, you know, I see how it's really the things like technology from one side has a given kind of the artificial escaping route to this terror world that they are showing us. You know, I think the two things, they go at the same time. From one side, they're showing you the world that is scary, bad, blah, blah, blah. At the same time, they are giving you this new, the drug, I think that Aldous Huxley thought for in the Brave New World is actually technology more than anything else.
Yeah.
Yeah. Actually, like in the movie The Matrix, what Neo was doing in The Matrix as a secondary job, actually as a main job, he was selling, you know, mini discs with software that actually were programs for the mind as a drugs program, drugs software.
Yeah.
And this is what they want to get. They just want to get that.
That makes sense because a lot of people don't know, and I learned about this listening to Sophia Smallstorm's podcast the other day. There's AI, right? There's artificial intelligence, and then there's IA, intelligence augmented. So to that, the intelligence augmented seems to be kind of the Neuralace, you know, like the brain implants and the virtual reality and the Google glasses and... all of that. And I think that's a really good point that they want to obviously destroy anything beautiful and good in the world. And then problem reaction solution as always. Oh, here we got this sex bot over here. Oh, you can't get laid because we've totally screwed up men and women. Well, you can just have this robot and they're not going to have all that baggage because they've been traumatized their whole life. And they're not, you know, you're not going to have to work through your problems. Just use this thing to get off and, you know, everything will be great. You don't have all those icky human emotions and stuff.
Yeah, and I think, you know, in the next future, they want to replace, obviously, television as such as it is, as we know it, with the virtual reality television.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And they've already started here. The biggest city near us is Orlando. And that's where Disney World is. I'm sure you've heard of Disney World. You know, oh, yes. Happiest place on earth. Yeah, ridiculous. It's like $5 million to get in for the day. It's a joke. It's a joke. It's sick. But, oh man, where was I going with that? I totally forgot. What were we talking about?
The virtual reality television.
Oh, thank you. So what they're doing is now these roller coaster rides at these big amusement parks, I mean, people come from all over the world. They're virtual reality rides now. So basically they're supplying the goggles. Like you're outside. I mean, it's a really cool ride already, you know, like you're up high. You can see where you are. You can see reality around you, but virtual reality is way cooler. You know, you don't want to look at those boring green trees. What about these cool, you know, avatar looking trees in this virtual reality world that we've created? They're just offering it up now.
Yeah, sorry, I was thinking. And again, I think that all of these merchandise about, you know, electronics and stuff is obviously not for certain races, but mainly for other races. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I mean, it's intended either to completely dumbed down as they are doing already, you know, the white people, the white races, but at the same time is one of the main things of the Asians. So you see that everything, but it's not very black thing, you know?
No.
So you see that everything is actually given to, because my point, as I told you many times, is like, I think they want to give it to the Chinese, you know, the world. As David Icke as well said 20 years ago, you know, that this idea is like, it will be given to the Chinese. Yeah. I mean, the Jews have chosen probably the Chinese as their new
host.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, we know that they've injected themselves into Chinese aristocracy, if you will. I don't know what you would call it. Yeah, like the ruling class there. Yeah, I mean, they have Chinese Jewish names.
And at the same time, really strange, you know, Chinese are building huge, massive, you know, ghost towns in Nigeria.
Yeah.
And the Nigerians are coming to Europe.
Yeah. Yeah. So, what's in the plans?
So what the fuck is going on? It's not that maybe the Jews are thinking of a Chinese Africa and the black Europe. I think it's this.
Yeah. Yeah, that sounds about right. Definitely. I would not be
because
surprised.
Exactly, you know, those countries, those African countries where the Chinese have built massive, I'm talking about like 750,000 inhabitants ghost towns with no one there, but everything ready.
Wow.
And they say, yeah, but you know, it's the bubble, it's the speculation. I say, but they could do it also in their own country. It's like,
yeah.
It's so big.
Yeah,
China.
You're telling me you're
why they have to go to Nigeria to build a town for 750,000
people? Maybe it'll work out one day. It's just, we're going to just take a gamble. No, they know exactly what the hell's going to happen. I mean, why would they spend billions of dollars creating whole cities? They're creating them in upstate New York as well. They're coming here to America. And you know, Chinese, and I'd just even say like a Eurasian kind of front that's headed this way more in a more organized fashion soon. I don't know. I don't know all the technicalities of it, but all I can see is that their Bolshevik agents are certainly trying to do the slow boil here, getting people to embrace it and getting people to actually think that, like, oh, Bolshevism is pro-white. You know, I mean, that's just insane to me that they've been able to.
For sure. You know, I saw the other day, but I can't find it anymore, any longer. I saw a beautiful tweet where there were four pictures, two taken in China during the Mao Zedong revolution in 1966, and the last two taken in the United States after Charlottesville. And they were exactly the same.
Whoa.
So buildings, you know, with the historical figures, heroes, decapitated and destroyed, and people, you know, already put in shackles like they're doing now, you know, to remember, you know, the slavery of the black people. So they're doing it exactly the same.
Wow.
Because anyway, you know, the Jew, it doesn't have much fantasy outside of all of the possible ideas he already has, he's using. So they know what it works, and so they will just replicate exactly the same way. So this is really scary, because the same thing is happening in Italy now. They are start to destroying also the monuments in Italy, obviously fascism. Actually, you know, the trend began more than in the States. It began in Italy exactly maybe a month before Charlottesville, all the stuff, where basically the prime minister decided that all of the monuments that were built by the fascists during the 20 years of the fascist time, they had to be in some way or change the name, or nothing has to.
It's the same model. They follow it time after time, and people are catching on fast enough. Like, guys, we saw what happened in South Africa. We saw what happened in Germany. We've seen this happen over and over again. You know, it's just amazing that people can fall for it again, and it's sick.
Well, again, because people at the same time, even if they could maybe rise a certain, I'm talking about the zombies, yeah? Mm-hmm. Even if they could rise certain questions, at the same time, you know, they are just given all the time, you know, circus and bread and circus, which is technology, it's every bollock, but technology is very important. You know, you told me you wanted to make this show more about technology and stuff. Yeah. And what people, they don't realize that technology, this technology, the electronics in general, is basically magic. Well, everything that, you know, all of the technology, electricity related, is actually more magic than other things. Yeah?
Yes.
Magic in our point of view, and they really make the sparks like proper magic, yeah? Mm-hmm. So it's actually magic. And Tesla discovered a way to access magic with technology. So are we thinking that the Jews, they don't know about this? Of course they do. So all of the technology that is shown to us has multiple purposes, and none of them are good. Actually, the only one that is good is the purpose for the tool that we buy, the item we buy. But this is probably the 1% of its function. The real functions is actually
dying.
So, and the point is that, for instance, I was do you know about the sound of silence?
I don't think I do.
No, because basically that's why also the two Jews, Hart and Garfunkel, they made the song.
Oh, the song,
No. Yeah. But that song is actually related to the sound of silence, which is a psychotronic weapon that was invented by the United States during the 50s. They actually used it also during the Iraqi War, first and second, which is basically a subliminal.
Yes.
Electric sound wave, which has inside all the most nefarious and terrible sounds.
Doesn't it make people like vomit and like just go crazy?
It makes anything, you know, because basically they realize this, that the microwave, and this is the 5G, 4G, 3G, any kind of microwave technology as a weapon, is this. The microwaves can pass through anything, basically, especially anything organic. so they can pass through the skull.
Yeah.
And they had realized already a long time ago that it was possible to insert inside other people's mind some thoughts as sounds, as spoken words,
oh, yeah,
just directing the microwaves to his brain.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So you basically transform your this was in 1975, so they had basically just made into electric signals a normal, like, hello, how are you? Then these signals were shot with microwaves into the head of a person, and that person could hear it in his own
head. Yeah, and for anyone that thinks this sounds far-fetched, they actually did this as an advertisement campaign, I believe, unless I've been misinformed, in New York City, a billboard.
Yeah. Now, the sound of silence is called sound of silence because it's obviously above or beyond or is above, you know, the normal perception.
Audible,
so it's actually not consciously heard.
Right.
Now, imagine if these people that they do all of the terrible things you and Kyle amazingly exposed in your documentaries about pedophilia. Imagine if these people recording what they do, because they do it, then they take those screaming...
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah? You start to understand now what they do?
Yeah?
So they record it, and then that sound, as a sound of silence, is then broadcasted through the mobile phones.
Wow.
And this can be targeted. So in this way, you can actually give a boost of evil and pain to anyone at will. And the more G's they put on the system, the higher is the power that this kind of sound of silence, of screams, can be broadcasted.
Wow. I mean, think about what they did at Waco. And this isn't like some top secret stuff. I mean, they had like bunnies being murdered or something, the sound of screaming bunnies that they played all night. Do you know
exactly
about? Yeah, I mean, they had like, if that's psychological warfare right there. I mean, they had certain sounds that they would play, like rock music or something, a certain song.
Well, or like they did during the first Iraqi war, you know, the time that basically they bombarded, not just with bombs, but they bombarded the poor Iraqi soldiers with the sound of silence, that it was like a defeat, 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 you can
all
win
right,
us.
Massimo, hold that
and
thought. We're
going
to go to a break real quick, and then we'll be right back to finish that up, okay?
Yep.
All right, guys, we'll be back after the break.
Sure.
Rabbi Steve Guttel, who was president and CEO of the Jewish Council for Public Affairs.
There are two issues at the top of our agenda at the very moment. One is the unbelievably important immigration debate in this country, to make sure that immigrants from around the world, particularly those from south of our border, have a chance here.
And here's an interview with Rabbi Goldschmidt.
Essentially, what you're saying is that in this boat, you're together with both Muslims
yes.
and people of other
nations. And we see ourselves together, fighting together with our Muslim brothers.
Thanks, Jews.
Say that I'm the one with the problem, and I react with
Everybody, welcome back. And I'm sorry I had to interrupt you in the middle of your thought, Massimo. I forgot. I'm supposed to keep track of when the breaks are coming in, but I'm not very good at it. I'm getting used to live radio. So you were talking about the Iraqi war and some of the sound weapons that were used there. So
yeah. Basically, during the Iraqi war, before the huge slaughter of the unfortunate Iraqi soldiers, some of them, you know, actually a lot of them were forced to come out from their bunkers thanks to the using of the sound of sirens. Where the sound of sirens was charged, obviously, with desperation, despair, and, you know, all the possible lower emotions. So that already understanding the situation, they had basically nothing to do more than just come out from the bunkers, where then they were finally slaughtered by the Apache helicopters. Jeez. That's what happens, actually. Yeah, it's very famous, the story, that basically they all, like, I don't know how many thousands of Iraqi soldiers were retreating, and for like kilometers they've been completely destroyed. Thousands of people, thousands. And these are the moral, you know, standards of those that they tell us that we are Nazi, racist, and bad, you know.
Yeah.
As long as you kill, as long as you kill some niggers, it's okay.
But yeah, yeah.
Never call them niggers, you know, before you kill them. Yeah.
Well, you don't call them niggers, like, if you're white in a white country, but if you're over there killing little, like, Arab children, that's cool. You can call them niggers.
Exactly.
It's sick. It's so, you know, not to totally change things, but, you know, this recent PSYOP in Charlottesville, everyone losing it because this, you know, supposed one lady died. It's like, you guys don't give a shit when we're over there bombing little children every day. I mean, I'm not saying we, but you know what I mean? Like, our country, why are you so hyper-focused on this one little incident? You know, it just shows you how controlled the media is and how easily swayed everybody's opinion is of everything. But, these sound weapons, this is something that I haven't looked at for a while, and it's something that I was looking into when I first even started realizing what was going on.
Same here. Actually, it was one of the first conspiracy I was given to read about it by some people. It was at the beginning of the mobile, you know, explosion among everyone, you know. So actually, you know, for like 4 or 5 years when I was in London, so already so many people had the mobiles, I didn't want to buy it because I got so touched about this, because I was like, oh man, this is so possible. It's, it's actually, you know, so easy to make it. Because basically, it's true. They know, everybody knows that, you know, at least in the scientific world, that microwaves can pass through the skull.
Right.
So it's very easy to put thoughts and sounds in your head just through this thing. And this is the idea of the mobile phones, you know. So you keep it in your, and this actually is that, imagine even the Bluetooth, all of this new technology they are using with the Bluetooth, which works again with very high gigahertz. So they can basically place anything they want within those frequencies.
That's right. And you know, here, I don't know if you have them over in Italy or Spain, but here, you know, like, and I'm not necessarily in a big city, you know, like, we're considered kind of in the sticks a little bit, but these cell phone towers are everywhere. I mean, if they wanted to turn those things up all the way, they could just completely wipe out a whole entire country like that. I mean, it would not be hard. And why are they putting these things up everywhere?
But yeah, also, if they have such a powerful satellites, why do they need to make all of these, antennas? They can just use their satellites. They have so many, you know.
Because there are so many satellites up there, and every single picture I see of one is totally not computer-generated. It's real.
Yeah,
but no.
Yeah, exactly. There are so many satellites for telecommunication, but at the same time, you know, they are planting, you know, these bloody towers in everywhere. Here in Barcelona, there are quite a lot of high buildings, especially, you know, residential buildings. Almost everyone now has got their own tower. And you're like, wow. And then you are saying to me that this is this is supposed to be satellite telecommunication.
Yeah, wow. Weird. Yeah. Weird. Yeah. Yeah, you know, here in the United States, they even try to disguise them as trees sometimes, and it just looks so stupid. It's so obviously not a tree.
Yeah.
They just stick some branches on the side of a pole.
You know, and the main excuse is, again, you know, for the implementation of the 4G and 5G, you know, wireless technology.
Yep.
Which is true. But as always, it's maybe only the 1 or 2% of the old truth, the reason that is for the 4G or 5G of the mobile phones only. Mm. You know what I mean? I mean, all of these things at the end, especially once we start to realize that all of this technology we are given and shown is basically toys. Evil toys, but toys compared to a proper technology, thanks to Tesla or others, you know, that is being suppressed by the Jews.
Right.
So that means that if they're giving us all the time all of this shit, which is actually already very, very bad, but it's not even the real thing. So that means that, you know, their evil plans that are really going. So let's say that the Jew has properly said by George Orwell in that famous page I always publish about, you know, the two systems, you know, the Jew keeps the two systems of true science and fake science going on at the same time.
Yeah.
The fake science is the official science, while at the same time, all of the so-called, you know, black projects, hidden projects, is actually the true science.
Right.
Yeah? Right. So they know some of the major scientists are dubious, especially the Jewish ones. I think they do know the true science. They know they are lying. Let's say, properly lie, knowing to lie, and at the same time do their things with the other stuff.
Yeah.
So, because usually the other stuff is actually military related. So they are leaving the real technology that could really change life of people to the military only. At the same time, giving to the zombies, to the white people especially, you know, the bad technology, to control them more and more, and at the same time, you know, to get them hooked up to this technology.
Right, right.
So could it be heroin, could it be the mobile phone, could it be the AE in the future, in the games. As long as you are hooked up, you are you are with them. You are within their own, you know, big net.
Right, and they're making it impossible to operate outside of the big net. I mean, like, even if you want to personally opt out of wireless internet, okay, well, everybody else around you has wireless internet. That huge tower down the street is blasting. You know, it just really sucks. I mean, I'm not saying that it might not have an impact, because we unplug our wireless router at night. You know, maybe it doesn't do anything, but hey, at least it gives me some semblance of control over my freaking environment, because it's pretty overwhelming to really comprehend what is being done at this point.
And if you want to look at it, it's really scary. Imagine this, as they shown it in the science fiction movies. Yeah, because I read one of the latest article on Renegade about, you know, cyber soldiers, you know, robot soldiers. So what if all of these 5G and more, all of these towers will be basically in the future? But I don't think it will be. It's not a possibility. They will just act them with these new drones and soldiers. So to have total control over the towns, I mean, control not just in what you're doing, but let's say control of actions. So that's basically these new drones, they can be called at will to your house.
Yeah.
Because obviously they will work with the GPS and with the microwaves and the Wi-Fi. So the more there is availability of high-frequency Wi-Fi within the towns, the more they will be able to use all of these new tools to control people. But not just to control them in what they are doing, to control them and to kill them all. You know, like in the movie as well, in Baby, that there were all of those drones invisible to the naked eye, but visible just when you were wearing the glasses.
Yeah.
So I think that's where they want to go. That's where they want to go. So that basically you are staying at your home, just talking and blah, blah, blah. Then they hack you through the Wi-Fi all around, and then you find the drone just outside of your window shooting at you.
Yep. I mean, I even had friends. Now, I don't know how honest they were being, but I can't really think of any reason they would make this up. When I lived in New York City, someone told me that they saw a police drone outside of their apartment window. Now, it sounds kind of crazy, but I honestly don't doubt it at all. I mean, Kyle and I have been sitting outside at night, and he freaks me out a lot because he just notices things, and it's true a lot of the times. There was this thing flying over our house. It was very low. It made, like, no sound at all, but it was clearly, like, you could see a little light, but it wasn't a plane because we hear planes all day long, and he's going, that's a drone, you know, that's not making any sound at all, and it's just kind of, like, smoothly going around, and I'm not going to deny that that's possible. I mean, they're probably using these things, just not telling us at this point.
Yeah, and at the same time, as, you know, the article was saying, it's now basically very easy to manufacture a drone that they can hold a machine gun.
Yeah.
Yes? Now you get where they want to go. So basically, imagine in the future, maybe in a couple of years, maybe in 10 years, maybe 15, but I think they want to do it in maybe like a couple of years. You are just talking at your phone. They decide that you have to be liquidated. It just comes through the phone. You know, basically, it gets your GPS for the drone.
Boom.
That is basically what Russia is doing now to target. You know that now Russia is very famous that they are target. The bombs are like intelligent, even though they are using dumb bombs from, you know, the Cold War time, because they have developed a system in the airplane itself that it doesn't, that it makes even the old bombs smart bombs. Using basically reflection of energy sources and computer and valuation. So now the pilot, let's say the Russian pilots, even with very old fighters and bombers, so from the 50s, from the Cold War, they don't even need now to, is the system, the computer that is installed in the airplane, all the system that calculates where the bomb has to be released. And actually, They are really amazingly precise, much more than the Americans. Well, I think that the Americans, it's not that they are mistakes. They just want to kill those people. They tell you, well, it was a mistake.
Right.
You know, whenever there is these collateral damages and stuff, I don't think there are collateral damages. I think that they really wanted to kill all of the amount of people for different reasons. And they just tell you, look, it was collateral damage. No, you just want to kill 50 or 70 or 100.
Right, that's it. We didn't know we were bombing a school. Whoops.
Yeah. You knew. This is very Israeli as well. We didn't know that in Gaza.
Nobody told us. No, you knew. How are we supposed to know? You guys didn't tell us. Yeah, that's very Israeli.
But at the same time, they tell us that they have such an amazing satellite that they can see even, you know, the hair on your ass, you know?
Yeah. Yep.
So either you have it or you don't have it. Either you have all of this technology, and then why are you using all of the others? See, as always, it's circular loops. Most people, you know, they don't even ask themselves this simple question. But if you have all of this, why then you are doing that thing?
Right.
Should it be easier to do it with that thing? Mm. Maybe. I don't know. You know, it's very, very strange now the level of how the acceptance, at least I'm talking about also all the Italians, you know, I'm talking about because I'm talking with in Italy, you know, the acceptance of whatever is coming down from, you know, no matter who is the leader or the TV anchor or this and that, it's unbelievable. People, they don't ask themselves anything. They just swallow whatever it comes. And for us that we know how it works, it's so frustrating because you tell them even in advance what is going to happen. Then it happens and still they don't want to say.
I know that one very well. It's frustrating.
Yeah, especially for you and Kyle, for instance, about all the alt-right, all of these Bolsheviks, agents and stuff. But, well, remember, we've been chatting many times. Me, because I'm pessimistic. I'm a pessimist, so I told you since the beginning they're all Jews.
You were pretty much right, though. Yeah.
Yeah, because, but at the same time, then I see, and obviously you, as many very light-hearted and good real people, you, Sinead, had few troubles believing for certain ones, whether or not. But
yeah, I did.
It lasted a little while, you know. At the same time, you cannot fight logic. I mean, you are a logical person, even with your with emotions or whatever. You know, they say women are logical, but once logic is not female or male. Logic is logic. That's it.
Yeah, exactly. Know? It doesn't have a gender. It's just a thing.
It doesn't have a gender. Logic and truth. Yeah. That's not a gender.
Yeah.
We don't have a vagina. We don't have a penis. It's just truth.
Yeah.
Yeah. She's with logic. So obviously, a person that is more emotional or more whatever can have more troubles to get a certain logic, especially when that kind of logic behavior it's evil.
Yeah.
So that logic pushes you to search why. But actually, you know, evilness is evil as actually sometimes, especially the evil of the Jews, as a certain logic that once you understand how it works, which is basically no empathy, no feelings, no nothing, but just keeping straight and destroying whatever, whoever it's in front of you, then you start to understand how they work.
Yeah, that was my biggest hump to overcome, because I always projected my morality onto other people. I had no idea that there was such thing as, you know, someone that didn't feel remorse. I mean, like, I would cry when I hit a squirrel on the road. I'd be like, oh my gosh, I'm such a terrible person. And they're off there just like slaughtering millions of people and like toasting Manischewitz. L'chaim. Like no emotion at all. It's insane.
But even in the small scale, you know, like these medium agents, like, you know, Evalion, all these people, you know, even doing this kind of little, I mean, a low level, nothing so huge, it's difficult sometimes to understand how they can be people, because we start to judge them, to project them, following how I would behave.
I
it's not, man, no, it's not
right.
How I, it's like how they do behave. You have to
That's
study
right.
them.
That's right.
Yep. Because if you just judge all of these people with your point of view, it's if you understand, it's you are like them. I mean, if you approve, if you understand these kind of things, at first place is because you have been given, you have the same kind of attitude, so you are not a good person, mm-hmm. and that's what they are. They know that the normal good goyim would never think such huge conspiracy, so many people, you know.
That's right.
Lying.
The downfall here, you know, people can't, that's one of the things that I wish I could find the trick to awakening most white people. They, like me, like I used to think, I couldn't fathom that people could be so evil. And I refrain from even calling them people because I don't know what the hell they are. But I didn't know that such evil could exist in this world. You know, it didn't seem real to me because, well, you know, yeah, I might have done some shitty things. I might have told a lie or two in my day or, you know, like shoplifted. But I wasn't off, you know, murdering yeah. innocent people. I've never killed anyone in my life. So, you know, it's interesting how I'm now some, like, super evil person for calling out the criminals that kill millions of people and rape children and eat them. You know, sorry. So sorry for calling you guys out.
Well, because, you know, you are not following the main Jewish rule.
Right.
That is, whatever is good for the Jews is good. Whatever is bad for the Jews is bad.
That's it, yeah.
You know, so you are actually now not good for the Jews, so you are not good.
No.
You are evil.
That's right. That's right. They certainly don't like me. And definitely, you know, it's interesting, even like just the lower level Jews, you know, they come after me. It's so funny. It's like, you guys are being played too, you dumbasses. You think that, oh, my, you know, like your Jewish card is going to save you forever. No. Their little leaders are selling them out too. I mean, not in the same way. They're not like genociding them, but they manipulate them all the time. And I don't think they would care if a bunch of their own got murdered to further their goals. They don't care.
Well, actually, following what one of the main Shabbat Lubavitch rabbis says, they have to be only 144,000 of them. You know?
That is the prophecy. Wow, that's interesting. If
they're like fucking 40 minions, they have to to liquidate. But a few ones of their own as well. Eh? If they have to stay, they have to be only 144,000, you know, as is the prophecy says.
Wow, that's not a lot, but you know, when you have robot armies keeping everybody in line, I guess that's vocal.
Now you get it. Now you get it.
It only has to be that one little guy behind the curtain if you have all the technology. But this is the point that we're at right now. We have this technology, right? We're using it right now to talk about these controllers. I mean, they're aware of it, obviously, and they're trying to shut down pretty much any dissent at this point, especially coming from a, you know, white perspective. Or I don't even want to say white, just anti-Jew, because they're trying to group in the Islamic terrorism, which they create, with the white terrorism, which they create. Yeah. So at this point, it's like, is technology going to ultimately destroy us, or will we destroy evil with technology? I don't know. I mean, I know you're a pessimist, and I am for the most part, but I have a child, so I have to I have to see the victory that is possible. And I mean, it's pretty telling that they're shutting things down right now so heavily. I know you think that might be like a fear tactic to try and instill catatonia. What do you think right now with them totally taking off their masks?
Well, I can tell you what is actually happening in Italy and here in Spain as well, or in UK. You know, they are really shutting down almost now every dissent through it. I mean, I was reading so many people got arrested recently in UK because of the racist, you know, comments on Facebook. So, point is that, you know, even understanding, having read, you know, the protocols of the Elders of Zion, reading interviews, sometimes it's difficult really to get where the Jew really wants. I mean, we know what is the main goal and the main target he has, where he wants to go. But the way that he's actually trying to go is sometimes difficult to understand.
Yeah.
Because from one side, they are pushing, as you said, this technology. On the other hand, they are censoring, repressing the same technology they're using, or at least certain uses of that technology.
Right.
But could it be, as again, you know, George Orwell, he just put it down, every sentence of his book is actually truth, man. It's unbelievable. Because he said it, that basically, you know, beside the minutes where you could express your hate, you know, the 2 minutes of hate every day, people were not allowed to talk anymore, not to say anything, but at the same time, just fed all the time through TVs and through this information. So I think that they want to reach the point where internet will be like TV, so there won't be any more interrelation between you and the computer. You have just to use the computer as a screen for when they're going to tell you what to do.
Yeah.
You know? And actually, that's what they're going to get. I think maybe in the future there won't be even any more keyboards, you know, because the smart TV is actually that. Through the TV, you have the internet.
Yeah.
Yeah? Get it where they want to go. They want to go where, yes, we give you the internet, but forget that you can type comments and stuff.
Or tell the truth, or make documentaries, or anything like that. We got to shut up the internet, as Donald Trump said. We got to shut down parts of the internet. And everyone's like, yay!
It's not that they want to shut down the internet. They want to shut down those in the internet truth. They don't like. You know?
Exactly.
And actually, I was reading about also this, that another way they would do it, probably. But that this was announced maybe 4 or 5 years ago. You know, with the different, you know, speeds, basically. That is, again, connected with the 5G and things, but like the broadband and the huge bands. So basically, they want to raise the prices of how you can get your broadband.
I think they're going to start taxing, too, like internet
tax. Yeah, exactly. So
they're going to make actually it expensive.
Through servers. So if you want to have the large band, there will be a certain price with the optical, you know, fiber optics, all the stuff.
Right.
So they will rise so much the prices that basically those servers will have to charge even more people like you so that you won't be able to afford anymore your websites.
Yep, that's definitely coming.
At the same time, you know, basically the slow, the little, because there will be big internet and let's say a small, a little internet. Little internet will go back like at the time where there was still, you know, the 24K, you know.
Hamster dance. Do you remember that?
Basically, like those times, well, at the same time, you know, the fiber optics would be just given to the major, you know, servers like Google, obviously, YouTube.
And right, the major Jew corporations.
Exactly. So, because basically, how can you shut down the internet?
You can't.
If you think about it, it's not possible now anymore right. to shut it down, especially since all the servers have been decentralized all over the world. So you cannot actually shut it down.
Right.
What you can do is like to make it so expensive that, you know, as they usually do, you make it an elite thing, at least in the production and into giving away, you know, the product through internet. So now it's, let's say, free. Everybody can contribute. You can put your amazing videos. You can do your things and stuff. What if the future will charge you, let's say, $300 a month to have, you know, your website or for just one, two?
Yeah, exactly. Then they're just going to basically like force our way into not being able to even speak on the internet because we can't afford it. I mean, already it's not cheap to get, you know, fast enough internet. It's a, you know, it's a good amount of money every month just to be able to like function and talk, communicate, have this up and running, have different businesses, and it's pretty crazy what we've got coming down the pipeline. We are coming to a break in just a minute, so I won't get into something too new, but maybe when we get back you know, into the second hour, we can talk a little bit about, you know, ways that we can somewhat combat this, you know, because if this is energetic warfare, well, we are energetic beings and we need to start thinking right now how we can counter this. This is magic, okay? It's dark magic. And I know people don't like that term magic because they think it's so woo-woo and out there, but magic is really just, in layman's terms, using your will to affect change in the material or in the spiritual. I mean, that's the best way I could explain it. So,
yeah, you said it perfectly. Another way, actually, again, quoting David Icke, magic is natural laws not explained to people.
Exactly.
Physical laws, sorry. Magic is physical laws that are not taught to people.
Right. And even just, you know, the power of intention, that's something that maybe we can get into on the other side. Yes. So we will be back in just a few minutes, and we will be back for the last hour. Okay.
How do you now see the future of the issue of immigration developing now across the whole of the European continent based on what you're seeing there in Germany?
This is a very good point because immigration is the future. You cannot work and live in a globalized world, in the middle of the world, in Europe, without immigration.
So there's a second thing in that black box, an unrelenting stream of immigration, non-stop. Fewer than 50% of the people in America from then and on will be white European stock. That's not a bad thing. That's a source of our strength.
Renegade Broadcasting, hard-hitting talk radio.
Welcome back. Welcome back. Thank you for sticking around if you're listening live. I wanted to briefly, before we jump back into our discussion, Shauna C or Shaunak, I don't know which one you go by, but you have the comment of the night. You have earned the comment of the night. And this is what she said. I think it's a she because she uses a female avatar. So sorry, I can't tell sometimes. But she says, the Imperial German fantasy is a nice one. Meanwhile, our best and brightest are being vaccine damaged at birth. And that just sums it up right there. I mean, obviously, yes, when we see this footage of NS Germany, I mean, it's just like, wow, it makes your heart swell. Like, gosh, that was possible at this time. And I look around today and I'm like, wow, there are teenagers that are wearing diapers. So I think we have to fix the problem of why that's happening, which is organized Jewry, before we can ever even come close to having a Fourth Reich. So just wanted to get that out of the way. And Massimo, I wanted to thank you for staying up. It's 3 a.m. where he is right now, and he has stayed up. Did you get the croissants in the oven? Oh, is he there?
Yes,
oh,
yes,
okay.
Yes. No, so actually, not in the oven. I put them to rise. You know, they need 6 hours for rising, and the pastry chef will put them in the oven in about 4 hours from now.
So do they have to be in a temperature-controlled thing? Is that why?
Exactly. Oh, they rise at a certain temperature, and they need the steam as well. Otherwise, they won't rise in the proper way. You know, it's a lot.
Wow. It's an art.
Indeed. It is.
I mean, pastries anyway. Is an art. Yeah, I know. It's kind of off topic.
You made me think about something. No, about that comment. And the big thing that now there is in Italy about the vaccination, because I don't know if
yes,
you know it. Now they
recent.
Make it mandatory.
Yes. Yep.
It's mandatory. Mm-hmm. And there are huge fines and actually jail time sometimes even, you know. And all of these was, let's say, prophetized by Rudolf Steiner, you know, at the beginning of the 1900s. And actually, he said that the vaccination was more for spiritual reason than anything else. Obviously, there are all of the possible physical damages that we know already, and I won't go in there because
right,
it's been said a lot. But what is important is the spiritual damage of the vaccines.
Yeah.
Because it's there, the real, deep, and most important purpose is to stop any kind of awakening and to keep people in a certain level of frequencies.
Yes, stuck, trapped, prisoner of this
stuck,
realm.
Exactly. Plus, put all of these kind of metals that they put inside of the vaccines.
Heavy metals.
Yeah? At the same time, imagine what the microwaves do.
Oh, jeez.
Because you get it now, the point. How everything is related.
Ooh.
That basically the microwaves that are now all over through Wi-Fi and through any possible technology they are putting out, obviously they will react as well with the heavy metals present in the vaccines.
Yeah.
God knows what these people are thinking, are actually planning with all of this. Because, you know, even though we are shown that all of these things are unrelated one to another, and this is another big mistake of the white people, not realizing that everything is connected. It's not realizing because we are unable to do it. It's just because due to ignorance, to lies. People see everything not connected to each other.
Right, and being so naive, not thinking that everything in the world can be controlled by a very small group of creatures.
Of criminals, creatures.
Yes, thank you,
You know, using the stolen knowledge to others and the inventions of others, but then not given to the masses, are using those technology and those inventions just to arm and to enslave more and more those same ones or those relatives of those people that they invented those things, probably with a good heart sometimes. Right, you know, I'm not saying everyone, but some inventions that they've then been used for nefarious, you know, purposes,
right,
were
exactly.
actually invented for a completely different idea.
Oh, of course, because usually it's the Aryan, or for lack of a better term, or the white person that usually is inventing all of these things, and then it's co-opted by evil forces, by Jews that then use it to destroy us all. And real
exactly.
quick, you mentioned Steiner, and this is something that I've looked into, not in depth, but just recently, because I was looking into the heart and how it's not a pump, and, you know, and then I
mm-hmm.
came across Steiner and the Steiner schools, and I looked into it a little bit because I was like, I've heard that they're teaching some kind of new agey stuff at these Steiner schools, but that doesn't necessarily mean that this is what Rudolf Steiner stood for. Now, someone, I believe it's Chris in the chat, said that Steiner died before NS. So we don't know what he would have stood for. His movement, though, was used against NS and thus was shut down, but only after a compromise could be met. Now, I think it's really interesting because something that the Steiner schools are being criticized for right now, and I'm assuming, I haven't looked into it, but I'm assuming Steiner schools would be anti-vaccination if they're basing their principles on Rudolf Steiner. And they, you know, they teach some kind of new agey stuff with, like, Lucifer, and, you know, I don't know about that, but... what's interesting is he says that the races are, it's a spiritual thing that, and so this is like such a big deal these days. They want to shut down these Steiner schools. And I noticed that a lot of the Steiner schools they were featuring that were in the UK were mostly white children there. So it's very, it's such a hot topic right now. There's white children that aren't vaccinating and they're thinking that their race is spiritually superior or something. So I just thought that was really interesting that he mm-hmm. was that, you know, kind of controversial about race even way back before National Socialism. I'd say he was more of a racial supremacist. Not that I hate, you know, I don't like using that term, but for outsiders, they would probably label him more of a supremacist than Adolf Hitler. So I think that's interesting.
Yeah, probably, yes. Especially, I mean, on Steiner's life is kind of a little bit weird because he was a theosophist with Madame Blavatsky, all of that kind of people. And then he supposedly, you know, quit with them, you know, completely broke up, and then he led his own way and he wrote lots of books about any possible topic, but related all the time with the astral world. So agriculture, education, you know.
Biodynamic farming, I think, is Steiner, right?
Yes. About my experience, I can tell you something about the Steiner School, because a very good friend of mine, she had both of her children in a Steiner School in London. So I actually went there quite a few times, so I saw the school. From one side, it's actually, they're really nice and beautiful, but, you know, they're a little bit like one love, one thing.
Yeah, I had a feeling.
You know what I mean?
It was like anti-racist.
I mean, yeah, they are kind of, especially in London, I mean, I'm talking about maybe 4 or 5 years ago, so already in a full, you know, multicultural and diversity thing. So there were, I mean, certain things that really did like it about the Sunday school, about the way that, for instance, the children are not forced to learn like in the usual mnemonic way, how is it done. There is much more time for playing
and exploration and art.
It
sounds,
you know,
like cool, but definitely not 100% what we need. You know, it's kind of like the second best, you know. Oh, well, at least they're not stuck in a desk all day, but they're still going to push that destructive self-hatred element, or for, you know, for all races, like, we all have to get along and no one's different and blah, blah, blah.
Problem is, you know, that unfortunately there is nothing genuine in our society. So because everything has been manipulated and stuff, there is really nothing there outside given by the government, whatever is this government,
well,
especially,
yeah.
You know, because we have to think about consequences. Sometimes people are so stupid, they don't realize that they don't understand simple logical explanation of words. If I win a war, a world war, it's obvious that I'm now the big boss, and then I will put myself,
the
new rules, all of the descendants of the losers, especially after 3-4 generations, will be completely under my will.
No.
So,
not because...
No.
Think about it. It's like you won the world war. Oh, but you don't control the world, though, or anything. You just won the world war. Like, you're not that important.
remember that beautiful quote I sent you a few months ago about who controls the power of how to interpret in words, control the minds of people, those that will use those words.
It's literally a program. You're programming your slaves.
Yes.
And that's what I really think the English language was intended for, unfortunately. And I think it's interesting that we're able to kind of use this programmed language to explain the enslavement. I think that's interesting. Maybe that's something they didn't anticipate. I don't know. But a lot of this coding and numerology, you know, I look at it, a lot of these people on YouTube, like Polarization Nation, I've been kind of interested in his videos recently, Unified Code Theory. But I want to ask him, you know, I don't really know what his perspective is. A lot of the stuff he's hitting on is dead on. But I don't know if this is unique to the English language, because that it doesn't seem like it's some kind of divine intervention thing. It seems that this is people playing God and they're coding our reality. But is it just in English? I mean, do these things with numbers happen in other languages too?
I think it happens in all the languages that they've been introduced by the Jews.
Well, okay, there you go.
It can happen in any language, but because there is some knowledge behind, so all of the languages being actually from the Hebrew to then the Latin, and then, you know, the Neo-Latin languages, and then the English, which has 50% of Latin.
So they, like, just tainted.
All of this is being encoded, and as, you know, as the computer languages, as the, you know, all of the languages that you use to program the computers, the same is being done with language. And back to what you said, you asked me before, you know, the break about what we could do. One of the main things is first also reappropriate ourselves of the power of the words.
Yes.
We, in the individual sense and in the large sense, so as a community, because one of the main things the Jew does is basically whispering in your ear lies or words or inventing new words. So being the power, you know what I said to you, that one of my ideas of why they chose to have, you know, the hexagram of that color as a blue rather than red, as it was a Rothschild, you know?
Yeah.
It was more because the blue, it's actually the color of the throat chakra. The throat chakra is also the center of the will, because at the moment, because we have no telepathy anymore, so we are expressing our will through our mouth.
Can you hit on that again? Because I don't know if anyone heard you. Because we don't have telepathy anymore.
It's not that we don't have it, but it's not there. I mean, it's not among the application, the apps that we have in the normal.
Well, exactly. I don't think people have explored this, though. I don't think they've explored that we used to not use words. And maybe we did, but maybe it was way different. And I think that the speech has lowered us spiritually.
Of course it has. Because basically with the speech, first of all, we have no idea of what kind of vibration we are actually broadcasting saying any word. Let's say I'm saying love, yeah? Let's say everybody means the same about love, but who knows what actually the sound love is actually creating?
Because these vibrations create our reality.
Exactly. That is also from the ancient Vedas, from any kind of, you know, spiritual culture. They say the same, that everything began with the sound.
Right.
That's why
the
but also in the Bible, by Gnostic everybody says the same. Everything is vibration and everything is a sound. So, and this is why, you know, the sound of silence, or using the subliminal ultrasounds or low-level sounds, so that they are inaudible, so that they cannot be heard, but they are heard through your, let's say, spiritual, through your energy field, and they affect you. So one of the things I think we have to do, first of all, it's within ourselves, change also the way we speak. For instance, never use the word, the verb hope. Hope, it's a trap. Never use it. Because hope, whenever we say I hope something, is actually you are giving the power of the outside to intervene in your hope.
Good point.
You have to say, we should say all the time, I intend to do this. So you put your intent, your
you're acting
of evocation of that particular idea. You don't say you are not giving it to someone else.
Right.
This is very important, because one of the main tricks the Jew did was first to take away the languages of people and replace it with other languages.
Right.
See, this is very important, because if one language is magic on itself, or at least they were before, it was, let's say, magic in a sense that most people were also given the knowledge of what the essence of the words meant. Now we are just given the words, but we don't know the essence, while the Freemasons and the Jews and the Kabbalists, they know the meaning of the words. That's why they play with words.
That's right. And
it's all, if you notice, once you start to study the Freemasons, the hoax and stuff, it's all the time game of words as well.
Oh, yeah, it's a God. Big joke.
And it's just a big joke, a big game, which implies, you know, what is that word really means? What is the vibration of each and every sound you make saying that word? For instance, you know, dog, god, or evil, life, all of these little games, obviously they are not random, they are not casual. They've been done purposely.
Anagrams are so interesting. Even if you just take news headlines, or just look at some of the authors of these news stories, they are fake names. These are coded names. This is all just, it's in my opinion, it's coding our subconscious, because we can't,
yes.
Our conscious mind can only take so much. You know, our subconscious is taking in everything. So these things, our reality is being coded in a way that once you can kind of see it, and I guess some people call that synchronicity, right? When you start to see codes lining up in your own personal life, you know, it can be kind of weird.
Yeah. But at the same time, you know, it's, at least to me, when I start to realize all of this, to see them happening in my life, synchronicity, meeting people exactly at the right time, or we are, okay, there are the coincidences and there are the synchronicity.
Yeah, there's a difference.
The coincidences are not synchronicity, because they make them happen in the lower level of things of magic, in a sense that if I know you are going to be there at that time, I can make myself, you know, like a prophet to someone else, appear as a prophet to someone else, just because I can actually tell them, oh, look, she's going to be there because I know that you're going to be there.
Right.
You know what I'm trying to say? This is the game of the Jew.
Yeah, foreknowledge.
This is the way that basically the Jew, at least in the lower level, could trap, could fool lots of Gentiles, aristocrats. Because they could actually predict wars, and they could predict things happening in other countries that were of interest of those aristocrats, those monarchs or kings and stuff, not realizing those stupid monarchs and kings that the Jews were not prophetizing, they were just telling them, you know, the plan in advance.
Yeah. So it's not a prophecy, it's just laying out there like this, what we're going to do.
Exactly. So one of the main things I think that people, at least us that we are talking about all these things for years, but we never actually analyze much what we say in a sense that talking on itself, you know what I mean? And this is probably what the Jew wants. He wants us just to talk and talk and talk and talk and talk and talk and talk. as long as he's also the owner of the language we talk.
Yeah.
You know what I mean now?
That's right.
So, and this is why, as you said before the break, it's something, the intention has to be from the head.
Yes.
This is, I mean, we have, obviously, you are doing a great job, you and Kyle, talking and giving articles and all the stuff, but what I feel the most about you guys, it's what is coming from your heart. That is not your words. Mm-hmm. It's something that is beyond the words.
Yeah. Yep.
This is what a Jew wants to stop in the white people. That things that it goes beyond the words.
That's right.
That connection. That is the connection of the things that are good. Goodness is something that connects people as evil as well, you know.
Yeah.
And they are scared to be that the white people will get connected again of the goodness they have inside. So they have basically projected on the white people all the possible evil, first to transform the white people in evil, and at the same time to make them guilty of that evil.
Yeah, because they know white people hate evil, so they would want to repent for any evil that was ever done, you know, because we just hate it. Yeah. It's so terrible.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Yeah.
So, sometimes, you know, I think at the same time that the real game is, I know it might sound very, very cynical, very stupid, but it's the so-called detachment from Buddhism, that doesn't mean that you don't have to give a shit anymore. But at least to see this world for what it is for true, for the Jew, or for those beings that are controlling behind the scenes the Jews themselves. In a sense that as long as we see just as this is, it's all there is nothing else except this world in this way, the Jew will always win. But if the white people in particular wants to get power again, has to create a new world within their own intent and within their own minds.
Yeah.
Because basically, how can you save a world that, especially for us that we believe in, you know, that silicon life, how can you save a world that where even your body doesn't belong to you? In a sense, as a design, not as aesthetics, not as a looks. I'm talking about the old designs of things in this planet. Yeah. So if we want to change it, we have to think again as gods. Even though whenever I get to this point, I myself sometimes listening to myself, I'm like, what are you talking about? but again, you know, it's so crazy. What we are shown, what is actually, how is it going? Anyway, let's say from one point of view, it's actually hopeless. So if it's hopeless, seeing it from the normal, logical, terrestrial, you know, point of view, let's think it in another way. If all of us would start again for true to think as a god, say, to project more and more, at least we could say, doing also the other stuff, obviously. I'm not saying that you then have to go to the cave and do this. That wouldn't change anything. But it's the attitude. It's the how we put ourselves within the system that it changes. For instance, you know, I'm doing a just, let's say, normal job. I open and participate and stuff. But at the same time, you know, whenever I'm here, I'm trying to spread the knowledge. And I've already talked to many people. And I see that my real work is actually that.
Yeah.
And I'm using these just to get to that. And maybe it won't affect it. It won't affect the whole Barcelona. Maybe it won't affect Spain. Maybe it won't affect the world. But at least it's affecting those people. And I know that each and every one that I gave a little bit of red pill, now it's giving to another one. And maybe we won't win in this way, but we are winning in another way.
Right. And something that... go ahead. Finish up.
No, go. You go. Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say something, too, that I think we should all explore and something that I need to re-explore is lucid dreaming. you know, and that our dreams, our dream world is so important, and it's something that we all overlook, and it's something that I personally have been trying to get back in touch with. I have the goal of keeping a dream journal, but for some reason I have the weirdest sleep patterns. I think it was because I just did this for 2 years of nursing a child, you know, waking up every 2 hours. I still do it. I wake up every 2 hours. So, you know, I'll have vivid dreams, but the last thing I want to do is turn on the light and start writing in a journal, you know. But our dreams are so important, and I think that we can affect change in the astral realms in the dream world. And if we can bring our intention into the dream world.
Yeah, well, actually, you know, the main shamanic point of view all over the world is like it's this world, the awakened world, is actually the dreaming world of the dream world.
Whoa.
So that's more real, the dreaming world, than this world. And actually, and which is actually true, you know, they, even the Jews, they tell us, you know, in a movie like Dark City, the famous Dark City, it's one of the four or five movies that the must watch movies to understand the situation, how long, you know, the Matrix and blah, blah, blah. It's called Dark City. It's with Kiefer Sutherland.
Yes.
And well, basically these kind of beings put people always to sleep in the night. They recreate their towns every night, you know. It's so important. Even, you know, the Nightmare on Elm Street from Wes Craven, the whole things about the fact that from the dreams, the monsters, they can actually come out to the waking state. The Jew, you know, again, you know, something that I've noticed sometimes when people talk about a Jew, that they always, probably also because the Jews, they want to show themselves in that way. We always see them, or they are depicted as only, you know, very materialistic, you know, into money, which is true, they really do it, and blah, blah,
no,
blah.
But
know. Once we realize that all of this is just like...
it means to control more.
Exactly, lines. It's just to create, you know, the context where they can use their magic,
right.
Which is basically, again, when we talk about magic. Magic is nothing new and nothing so strange. Are basically physical laws that the Jew has stolen.
Can you hear me? Hold that thought and we'll be back for the last half hour, okay? I'm sorry. The break's coming in. We'll be right back. Again.
After getting censored relentlessly on YouTube, with video after video and channel after channel getting taken down, we have decided to try a different approach.
We now have RenegadeVids.com, which features all the documentaries, parodies, compilations, sketches, and video discussions that are simply too accurate for the kosher censors.
There are now many hours worth of hard-hitting videos waiting for you to watch and share, so get on over to RenegadeVids.com.
We all feel the pain.
welcome back. Sorry for my terrible hosting skills. I don't know. I have the hardest time interrupting a conversation for a break, but I do appreciate the breaks because, you know, like get a drink of water, go to the bathroom. So whatever, I'll learn eventually. But just real quick, I want to comment on some things from the chat. We've got some dream skeptics. We've got some serious dream skeptics in the chat. Urban Jungle Girl says, if I remember correctly, it was the Jews who pushed the dreamscape / dreams as important via psychoanalysis. I don't put much weight to it personally. Yes, Freud did come in and use his little position as a psychoanalyst to project his filthy Jewish mind onto pretty just average dreams coming from people. So, no, I don't think dream interpretation is Jewish in its essence. I think it's been going on since we've been able to talk or relate to one another, because I'm sure we've been dreaming forever. And I do agree that there are different levels of dreams. You know, John says sometimes a banana is just a banana, and I agree. I think there are different levels of dreaming, and yeah, I think sometimes yeah. dreaming is just to work through the day. You know, you'll have dreams about driving to work, or it's just to kind of like reflect back over what you've done for the day. And then I think there's deeper meaning ones. And then there's prophetic dreams, which, I mean, I've had them personally. You may have had them too. And that's what makes me really feel that dreams are more important than just my brain, you know, going through the motions of being a human. There's something spiritual. There's something very big that we can tap into.
Yeah, and also there are another kind of dreams, which are the lucid dreams. Basically, the lucid dream is the dream where you awaken yourself within the dream and you are able to control and move yourself within the dream, but with your consciousness of awakening. Usually, you can actually see yourself sleeping. Mm-hmm. These are the dreams I'm talking about.
Yes. Yeah, like you're aware, yeah? You're aware that you're dreaming and you wake up and you're like, or well, you don't wake up. You're in your dream and you're, okay, I know I'm dreaming.
No, physically, you leave your body in out-of-body experience. That is the lucid dream.
Yes,
there are two kinds of lucid dreams. It's the lucid dream where you wake up within your own consciousness, within the dreams, like shown in the movie, the Nightmare, you know, the Warrior of the Dreams, those kids that
okay,
they were waking.
The
so they were awakened in the dream. And then there are the other ones where you actually
yourself.
Wake up your consciousness and then you see your body in
okay.
the bed.
Okay, gotcha. I haven't had one of those. I'm kind of jealous.
Yeah, because those are both out-of-body experience. Our friend, you know, that we know, he does this kind of things. So he can actually move
right
through the world. Actually, when you are waking up yourself within the dream, you are... If a person doesn't have much energy saved or doesn't have, you know, a good control of himself, it can be prey of bad people, let's say, within the dreams. Because those people within the dreams are the same people that I'm calling them the demons. They operate from the dream world.
Yes, they do. Massimo, I've had such vivid dreams.
Yes.
I had yeah. one recently that a Jew was like chasing me, trying to give me a vaccine in my right arm. And yeah. I still like, I felt the pain in the dream.
Yeah.
I woke up and I still have to this day, like pain yeah. in the right side of my body. And I feel that that was an attack.
Yeah. Yeah. Because basically that's what is so difficult, even though, you know, it's funny though, because we are so... We need to accept it as long as it's put in the horror movies. Or
yeah.
But then you, if you say to people, look, you remember Nightmare? Yeah, it's true. Oh, but come on, when you were watching it in those 2 hours, you were so scared because you felt it was true. If I just tell you, how is it so difficult to accept it in the logical mind, in the logical term that is true?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That something that the white people have to understand is all of these little things, because they seem so unimportant. But if they were not so important, why the Jew, through the Catholic Church, through any possible way, has destroyed all of this knowledge? Why, if it was not so important?
Yeah, clearly it is.
Why has he replaced it with all of the possible kind of science bollocks. Could be from the psychoanalysis to any kind of physical and stuff. Why replacing all of these if the original, you know, the main knowledge before was not so important or was not true? Because I've noticed, you know, something that is very difficult for quite a lot of white nationalists. They are still very scientific hooked up with science. There are really lots of people, lots of white people, this is due to indoctrination from school, are still hooked up with the Jewish science.
Oh yeah, they love NASA and Neil deGrasse Tyson.
Whatever it could be, from the NASA to sometimes medicines, or in this case, for instance, dreams. The Jew lies in every possible topic, in every field, lies to us. So there is nothing we can trust that it comes from the official history of what we've been told. Nothing can be trusted. Everything has to be scrutinized, not 100 times, 1,000 times. And every time you scrutinize it, then you start to wonder. To me, you know, my main rule is this. Everything that was believed in the world before 1500, for me, is true. Anything that is believed after 1500, I don't believe it.
That's interesting, yeah.
Because if you notice, 1500 is actually very important because it was basically the last defeats of the Teutonic German tribes. It was the time of the Jew expulsion from Spain, and then, you know, the Jew going to America, the Jew going to England. So that 1500, the lie of the ball earth or the gravity, everything was that. Then also the new chronology that we are thinking about. So to me, for instance, 1500 is the time of the Romans. You know, I really do believe that 500 years ago there were the Romans at the same time of the. But all of this is so important because that passage, also the persecution, you know, the Inquisition, the killing all of the so-called witches all over Europe, 9 million women were killed in 2 centuries. 9 millions. 9 millions.
Wow.
And all of them were killed, all over Europe I'm talking about, you know? Oh. And all of these people, especially women, were killed in front of maybe their daughters or their relatives. So to spread that fear for all of that knowledge, because obviously the accusation was public. They were killed because they were witches. They were killed because they were, you know, fornicating with the devil, because they were doing creams, they were doing tinctures and stuff that was not anymore allowed.
Oh my gosh. They're kind of starting to do it again with midwives. I mean, they throw them in jail if a baby dies. Like, they don't have anything to do with that.
If you look at this from the point of view of the Jew, you understand why. Because as soon as basically he operated all of this cleaning up of the knowledge, then it was that knowledge was replaced with the Jew knowledge. So the new science, the Illuminism, you know, so and their science that then they began with the classic, you know, classic science or physics and stuff. Then they moved to anything, because obviously they had to saturate completely all of the lack of knowledge that then had become, you know, myth and legends.
Right.
So you have to replenish that you have taken away, and then you have to create a completely new system. But that doesn't mean that the old system it stopped to exist. Obviously, it still existed. It is still how it works. And this is what we call magic.
Yeah, absolutely.
Magic is always, it's still now magic. Everything is magic. And the Jew uses the magic and he sells the technology to make people believe that magic doesn't exist, while the Jew uses the magic every single fucking time.
Right, and Massimo, okay, this is something that just clicked with me, because I lived in New York City and I would watch the Jews. They would, like, seriously sit on the subway, and even before they ate meals, they would rock back and forth and read, you know, read constantly, read the book constantly. That is programming like programming this demon into this world with them saying these words over and over and over again.
Yeah, of course.
It's fucking crazy thinking back to it. It's like we could see objectively looking in that these people were fucking nuts, rocking back and forth, like saying whatever they were saying. But now that I can see the bigger picture, that's what they were doing. They were speaking that word into existence, speaking that devil or not devil, that demonic presence.
The egregore, you know, you know about the egregore knowledge. Basically, whenever two or more people, they repeat, they do as a ritual, they repeat something, they have the same idea, they keep repeating that kind of thing day by day, they create within the astral world exactly what they are thinking.
Right.
So, that kind, so obviously this is the, there is, for instance, the question whether or not Yahweh existed before or the Jew invented it and then now he exists. Because it doesn't matter whether or not he existed before. The fact that so many people around the world, no matter if they are Muslims or Christians or Jews, are worshipping Yahweh because he's the Father God of the Old Testament.
That's right.
They have created it.
Yeah.
So now it's unimportant anymore whether or not he existed before, because now it does exist.
That's right. And that's what the three main religions are worshiping.
And at the same time, what the Jews has done is to take away the egregores, so the gods of the white people, mainly. And because once you take them away from the knowledge and you tell to people that they don't exist, obviously, they don't. It's not that they stop to exist, but at the same time, they are, let's say, it's like we have been put in another timeline. Let's put it like this. We are now in another world that is by the original world, but it's not that world. It's the world of the Jew.
Right.
So if the white people have to fight, first of all, have to fight for the real world, which is only in our hearts.
That's right. Yeah, and it can't be really explained by words at all. It's a feeling.
It's just inside of us. We know. People know what is right, what is wrong.
Right.
And this is the relativism imposed by the Jew.
Yeah, everything is relative.
Everything is not fucking relative. Everything is absolute. If I give you a punch, we can have 100,000 opinions, but then anyway, the punch, the pain, you will have it anyway.
Right.
Yep. You can convince yourself that it was maybe, you know, a caress or I was just stroking you, but no matter what, I gave you a punch.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? That is what the Jews is doing all over the world now. It's the same, especially with the multiculturalism and immigration. No, but it's not like this.
We all bleed red.
Or in the States, or here for you in the U.S., with all of this thing again with the black, they are saying to the white, it's not like you, your eyes are seeing it.
Right.
So the main point is this. Either we again get control, not just of, because the Jew control the mind. So once he controls the mind, he controls the body. So the point is now, quite a lot of people has now understood almost all things, but at the same time they are still trapped in the main, how can I say, in the main bricks of, in the main foundation of how things work. And as long as the Jew holds those keys as well, it doesn't, most of the waking ones, we won't be able to interact directly with the allness of how things are.
Right.
You know what I'm trying to say?
This is that is
why they always dilute the knowledge, and because has to be taken the all of it at the same time for what it is. Look, it's this A, B, C, D, E, F, G. That's it. This is the way it is. Once lots of people realize at the same time that this is the way it is, it's like the curtains have been pulled down.
Yeah.
I'm talking about all it is, especially about the magic side. Because lots of knowledge is being given of how the Jew works in the material level with the economy and stuff, and not much.
That's a good point.
And this is why, I mean, we are now with you, we are now 2 years that we are chatting and interacting and that is. So you have noticed that I always come back to that, always to the magic. because that's the way that I discovered how it worked. Because since I realized that magic is true, lots of amazing magic situation and facts and miracles have happened to my personal life. So I have the confirmation that it actually is working. And yes, you asked me about to talk about Reiki, which is the thing that, well, again, also in this, there are lots of who knows for true what are the roots of this Reiki that I practiced now for about 17 years. So I can talk about my personal experience. I can explain what Reiki is, but I'm not so sure about how it came again to the light of, you know, the general population. Because obviously there, the Jew must have put his fucking dirty heads. Okay, you know what I mean?
Yeah, most likely it was something that, you know, they had knowledge of and then used it, corrupted it, and, you know.
Especially about the rediscovery of this practice of healing through the energy, channeling the energy and stuff. It's a kind of a very, very weird legend about this man in Japan at the beginning of the 1900s and blah, blah, blah. So I won't talk into that. I will explain what Reiki is first, and then, you know. Basically, Reiki, it's an ancient practice of channeling the chi or prana from the outside. And then, you know, channeling means that we work as an antenna, and this prana, it comes through our head and through our feet, and then it's basically put out of our body through the hands. And Reiki is a Japanese practice, and it's composed by two words. One is Rei, and the other one is Ki. Ki is Chi in Japanese. And Rei means the universal consciousness. So basically, Reiki is an energy which is, from one side, it's pure prana, so life force and healing in the proper physical level of meaning. At the same time, it's also an energy which has a higher level of consciousness. So it kind of, let's say, talks in a certain way. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And the derivation, where it comes from, basically the legend says that at the time of the Chinese Qigong, all of the practice of the Eastern practices, there were basically five things that they were doing at the same time, all of the workers, that it was yoga, meditation, healing through the hands, martial arts, and the proper food, you know, sungazing. All of these kind of practices where people were doing it then all together, not just one. You know,
yeah.
Then obviously the Jew or whoever they actually split them, so creating different kind of practice and stuff, so that they could control even more. And Reiki is passed from one person to another through a ritual, where basically the five symbols that the man that rediscovered them at the beginning, the Japanese man, found this. That is the legend about how it came to light again after like 1,000 years of oblivion. That this man in Japan found a document where there were five symbols. Four were Japanese characters, and two of them were spirals or something like that. So basically, he realized that these symbols were very important. After a long time, he managed to attune himself again with this kind of symbol. So basically, the symbols work as a password to connect to those energies.
Interesting.
And this is how Reiki is basically passed from one person that has received all of three levels of attunement to another that it doesn't have it. So these symbols are basically drawn in the energy field of the new practitioner, and also on hands and feet, and on the three upper chakras. So on the heart chakra, throat chakra, third eye, and crown chakra. All the symbols are placed there, and energy as heat or as any physical sensation a person can have, are basically, the hands are placed there with these symbols for a certain amount of time, until basically the symbols will kind of seal themselves to the person. So let's say that there is a kind of a choice for life, even though everyone that does the first level actually don't realize that it's something that will actually change your life forever. Mm-hmm. Because let's say that is the problem. Maybe also myself or many of us, we were naive because you are actually accepting within yourself an energy that you actually don't know where it comes from.
Right.
Yes. Yeah? Mm-hmm. Tell you, this energy is the energy of the outside, of is the etheric energy. I can tell you this, for my experience, for what happened to me, I had a really serious accident that left me almost dead for some years, mm-hmm. but I recovered in a way that not even the doctors can understand.
Right.
And I know that since I have Reiki, the more I do it, I give it to myself or to others as a treatment, if you feel pain, it suits the pain. Mm-hmm. I've seen many, many little, even not so little miracles from my direct experience. Then, you know, because some people say, Reiki energy comes from the dead. I said, well, I don't know where it comes from, but to me, I can say that after 17 years of practice, I've not noticed any kind of going to the bedside. Actually, it's magic and really works. I mean, I can create balls of energy. I can actually send it through time and through space because I've done like distant healing and people felt it in other countries. Mm-hmm. I can actually project with Reiki, I can project my thoughts to another person as a telepathy. So it's really proper magic. And the more I'm practicing with Reiki and with energies, the more I understand how the Jew does it. Because it's exactly the same kind of knowledge.
Especially with symbols, too. Symbols are so powerful.
Exactly. Because basically, in this world, how... Let's say that each and everything, and this is the Kabbalistic point of view, each and everything has a name, has a number, has a kind of a code that it can be seen. And that's why they were actually listed in the past, because people, they were seers. They could see these kind of codes as a symbols, as a, how can I say, as a structure of the energy as it moves through the different organic life. Right? Mm-hmm. This is the essence. That's why the shamans, they can actually tell you a plant is good or it's bad, even looking at it. Because it's not that they are looking at the plant itself. They look at what color the energy field the plant is. And so you know that if it's like a violet, it could be poisonous. If it's more green, it's actually more a plant as a food. All of this knowledge is the knowledge that the Jew has replaced with the fake science.
Yeah. Definitely.
Science is to replace all of this to something that it could be a little bit more acceptable.
Right.
Even for those, and then the more you feel up, people, their ego, you know, with this knowledge, and they feel so, I know everything. This is the reason, for instance, why the Jesuits, which were Jews, under the Catholic Church, these guys, they actually established universities almost all over the world. Why so? Of course, because you have to take them from when they are children, you know, with school and stuff. Mm-hmm. Replace the language, replace the tradition, replace the modus operandi of the mind.
Yep.
Because people don't believe in magic anymore. So anyone using magic can actually fool them as much as they want.
That's right. People think that magic is just for Disney films and Harry Potter books and... there's nothing much more to it. And if you talk about magic, you're probably just a little hippie, weirdo, lefty, crunchy, granola type. I don't know what other words they use. I don't know. But we are,
A nut, a crazy nut. But at the same time, you know, these same people, especially the big names, as you have unfortunately exposed in your amazing documentaries, all of those rituals, all of that pedophilia is part of their magic. Aleister Crowley said it. He wrote books over books about it.
That's right.
They are not like fairy tales. They are proper scientific books about magic.
That's right. And we can use it for our gain too. And it's time that people start thinking more, I get, you know, more magically and more childlike in a way. I mean, just, you know, play with language, look at things. And I don't mean childlike in the way that you can't control your emotions or you're just like a mess. You can't handle your daily affairs, but be playful with language and look into things, question everything and play with numbers. Go get an anagram, you know, type into Google search anagram generator, gematria generator, and just play with numbers and look around because everything is pretty much coded. If you look at any major news story, it's coded.
Yes.
And they will predict, you can predict things. This is what they do. This is what they are doing to each other. They're coding each other, speaking in a language that only they know so they can tell each other what the next plan is. That's where they all, you know, they all go watch the movies. Oh, that they're doing that over there. Okay. And it's basically, they're also predicting to our subconscious because I think part of their magic is that they have to reveal to us their plans. I think there's some kind of karmic debt involved or something. I don't really know, but that they have to basically get us to consent for the spell to really work. So what they do is they code predictive programming all the time, telling us what they're going to do, exactly when it's going to happen. And I really encourage people to start looking into that more. We are coming to a close, unfortunately, but I know I want you to get some sleep too, because I know you're up super late. But in the last, you know, 3 or 4 minutes here, do you want to say anything in closing? I thank you so much for coming on tonight and staying up.
Well, thank you very much for inviting me. It's always a pleasure, you know, to share a little bit of my experiences and my view, which is a kind of a syncretic. I try to join many different views that led me to understand, you know, because basically I just want to say this to people. Unless we take the full power of knowledge back with us, there won't be any change. That is my opinion. Maybe I'm fool, maybe I'm not. But I feel that the knowledge of how really the world works, no matter if it's good way, good news or bad news, but we have to understand it to think. But not just the thinking like I want to think. No, you have to believe it 100,000%. Like, you know, like again in the movie, in the book 1984, you know, George Orwell put it that the Big Brother, the people from the Big Brother, they wanted the dissidents, they had to love for true the Big Brother.
Yeah.
So if we want to change this world, you have for true to create, to love the other world. But the other world works through the things that the Jew has stolen. So studying the Jew is not for just because we love the horror. I'm studying the Jew because studying the Jew, I'm trying to get the answers of how to change things.
And that's what because we have the Jew to do. We knows have it. To. That's
even
right.
If we hate it, even if we hate the thought, the Jew knows.
All right, Massimo. Well, thank you so much for joining me tonight.
Thank you.
The music's coming in, and I hope to have you back on soon. Thanks again. Good night, everybody.
Thank you.
Good night.
Us one side of World War II. They don't want us to know the real history of what happened over 70 years ago, seeing through the eyes of the German victims. The horror of the terror bombing, the mass rape of millions of women and children, the torture and murder of civilians, the death camps for surrendered soldiers, the ethnic cleansing of whole countries, and the planned extermination of the entirety of the German people. After watching Hellstorm, you'll never see the good war and the good guys in the same light ever again. Watch for free and get DVDs at hellstormdocumentary.com.